Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. Jim Brody and Marjorie Egan. We're continuing our series of conversations with gubernatorial candidates. Here with us in Studio 3 today is Mark Fisher. Mark owns Merchants Fabrication in Auburn. It's a metal manufacturing facility. He's running on the Republican ticket against Charlie Baker. Mark, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you again, Jim and Marjorie.
Thank you very much for coming in. We're going to start this with what we call in the business a softball question, because I thought this was a great story, and I bet you love telling it. And people can relate to this, because a lot of people have been unemployed and been out of work, and you've experienced this several times in your life. You talk about getting laid off in 2008. And that very same day that you received your notice, something happened. Tell people that story.
Yeah, I was looking for a business for sale, and I found one. The very same day that I got my layoff notice, I found a business for sale. It took a long time to finally close the deal. It was in the fall of 2008, and business wasn't very good. The banks didn't want to give me a loan. And we finally closed the following August, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So how, if you were laid off, could you buy a business?
Interesting. So that's what the banks wanted to know, too. I had to take a loan on my house. They wanted a lien on my mom's house. They wanted a personal guarantee. They also wanted a life insurance policy, which they got on my life. I paid the premium. So if I failed, they go after my house, they go after my mom's house, they go after my property, and if it causes me so much stress that I die, they collect on the insurance policy.
Okay, well, for your mother's sake, I'm glad things didn't went okay. So you've been right in the middle of this whole immigration battle. You're up at the State House when they had the big protest against bringing the children and the teenagers that have come from other countries.
Stop the invasion rally.
That's right. What is your stand on this whole issue, Mark Fisher, please?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I said at the rally... we're compassionate people, and we want to help people. And we're helping illegal immigrants now in this state to the tune of over $200,000 and $2 billion a year. And when I hear the mayor of Lynn, Judy Kennedy, talk about what it's doing to her town and Chelsea and Saugus and Chicopee, I think we're over the limit. So when I talk to people about this who are on the other side of the issue, I say, what's the limit? How many can Massachusetts afford to take in? And I think we're way over that now.
So what do you do with these kids who, at least according to Deval Patrick, the current governor, would be on these bases, one in Western Mass, one in Bourne. Kids are here as a result of a law signed by George Bush in 2008. Mm-hmm. They can, even if it was a great idea, they can't just be deported. They have due process rights. They got to be somewhere until they've had an opportunity to exhaust those due process rights. What would you do with them if not have them here, Mark Fisher?
Yeah, I guess 2 points. If I was governor, you know, a few months ago, and I was asked by Barack Obama, I would say the same answer that Governor Malloy in Connecticut and the governors in other Democratic states have said: no, this is your problem.
But the federal government is made up of 50 states and D.C.
Yeah.
They got to be in one of those states or D.C. or two of them. What is he supposed to do? Take him to the White House?
Yeah.
I don't mean that facetiously.
No,
where is he supposed to put him
while
he's complying with the George Bush law?
In addition to George Bush's law, he has this deferred action. So people are coming to the border knowing they can get in, they can't be turned away, and they have to wait 3 years in line to go before a judge. This is a federal problem. I guess you put them on federal basis somewhere. But
that's what he wants to do. He wants to put them on federal basis here.
But if they're asking our permission in Massachusetts, I say no.
Well, suppose, and it would be a promise, and you'd have to believe the promise were true, but suppose there were a promise that we're not going to have these kids in school in Lynn and Brockton. We're not going to burden the budgets there. We're not going to have people living here indefinitely. That it is what Deval Patrick has said. It's going to be a short-term stay, all federal dollars. In that case, if that were you believe that to be true, would that be different?
No, and here's the reason why. Lou Evangelitis, sheriff in Central Mass, went down. He knows that there's a backlog of over 3 years for people to get before a judge. So it's 4 months and at least 3 years. And we've heard these promises before about the tolls would come down when the turnpike was paid for, that the income increase in the income tax is temporary and so forth. We've heard all these promises before.
But, Mark, that's not the answer to her question. It is fine to be skeptical. We're talking to Mark Fisher, a Republican candidate for governor. And obviously it's fine to be skeptical. There are a lot of good reasons to be skeptical about a lot of things. But Marjorie is posing a hypothetical. Mm-hmm. If you were assured as governor, as you have to be as governor, a whole variety of things before you. If you were assured that the representations made by both the federal government and your predecessor, Deval Patrick, were accurate, that it's a finite period of time, much shorter than 3 years, it's 100% federally funded, purely on federal land, you still say – how can you say no? It complies with all the conditions you're talking about.
Then I would say find something closer to the border and don't incur the cost of bringing them up here with the airplanes.
Okay. We're talking to Mark Fisher, who is challenging Charlie Baker, or vice versa, depending on your point of view. Guns.
Yeah.
Apparently this has been resolved, but there was a major dispute at the State House over the final version of, as I'm sure you know, a gun bill. Police chiefs were on the side of the Speaker of the House saying the same discretion police chiefs have to declare someone not suitable to have a license to carry a handgun, that same discretion should be granted to these police chiefs when deciding whether to give a license for a rifle or a shotgun. The Senate, 28-10, had voted against such a provision. Where are you on that? Where were you on that, Mark Fisher?
I say in Massachusetts, we have some of the strictest gun laws in the country. And let's solve some real problems. I think that government incompetence with DCF, the drug lab scandal, the compounding farm scandal has caused more harm and responsible for more deaths than any law-abiding gun owners. Let's solve those problems.
So, but the answer
waste of time.
Would the answer be no?
No.
To that? So no. So if to be consistent, if they don't have the power, police chiefs, to consider suitability when as it relates to rifles and shotguns, should they also not have the power to issue to make a decision based upon suitability as they currently have with handguns to be consistent?
Well, I mean, I went to get my FAD card, and they do have some discretion there.
On handguns. Handguns. I'm saying, but to be consistent, if you don't want them to have it for rifles and shotguns, should they also not have it for handguns?
Yeah, it should be consistent. But here's the thing, Jim. There are 90 – when I get my FAD card, there were 98 laws. If you broke any one of them, you couldn't own a gun in Massachusetts. So the moral of the story is if you want a good neighbor, find yourself a law-abiding gun owner because they're already vetted by the police chief in the state of Massachusetts.
We're talking to Mark Fisher, who's running for governor against Charlie Baker. Mark, you know, I read your bio and you talk a lot about money that we spend on welfare and SNAP and food stamps and that kind of stuff. And I'm interested because you worked yourself for Raytheon.
Yeah.
That I don't hear a lot about corporate tax breaks and deals that we make with these big corporations to stay in Massachusetts. I would assume, especially having worked for Raytheon, which did you wrong, that you would well, where are you on the big corporate tax breaks?
And Raytheon got one, by the way.
Raytheon got one, and not only, correct me if I'm wrong, took a lot of jobs out of state.
Yeah, I'm opposed to corporate welfare. That's
okay.
That's what I call it. I don't think we should target, and I said this, I think, to Jim earlier, I call the tax targeting of specific industries, fat industries like Evergreen Solar. We should make a level playing field across the board. I'm for lowering the tax rate across the board to help businesses come in here, but not target specific industries. By the way, New York, liberal New York, is the second leading state in job creation. Why? They have no tax zones, and it's attracting businesses there. We can do the same thing here in Massachusetts.
And I know you were happy about the recent decision about the buffer zone outside the abortion clinics where they were 35 feet. Now they've been lowered to 25 feet. Where are you in abortion, period? You pro-life?
Pro-life.
So what would happen to women under the Mark Fisher administration that had abortions?
Well, I know women who've had abortions, who've had multiple abortions, who've survived the abortion attempts on their own lives.
I mean, would you, if it were illegal, would you indict them?
Oh my goodness, no!
Okay. So they, nothing would happen. They could get abortions, and you would not.
I want them to get information. There's an Enterprise Institute that says 64% of women who get abortions feel like they're coerced into it. I want to give them
by whom?
By their boyfriends, their husbands, their parents, their employers. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if it were illegal, though, if it were against the law to get an abortion, you couldn't legally get an abortion. So what would happen to the women that broke the law to get an abortion?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Okay.
You know, Mark, I mentioned a minute ago after Marjorie was candid enough to admit she was wrong in her prediction about the probation trial verdict. I was wrong in the same way. I may have been wrong about you, too, and I'll tell you why. When I met you, you were on my show, television show, nonstop. You were challenging the decision of the state committee, state Republican committee, which said you had not gotten the required threshold of 15%. You said you did. Ultimately, a deal was cut where they said, yeah, you're on the ballot and that sort of thing. You were all over the place. You were in the news. It's almost like you've had milk carton status, I think. I don't mean this harshly. You've raised $40,000 while Baker's raised $1 million and something. I don't mean this critically at all. I mean, if I'm wrong, I hope you'll correct me. It seems your presence, I don't get it. We get emails from all the candidates to the point where you can't even, you know, see your other emails in your inbox. How seriously are you campaigning
in
this thing?
So if anybody wants to know that, go to my website, go to the events tab. My schedule is public. I have 4 events today.
Wow.
I was on Fox News this morning. You guys, I got Access Framingham this afternoon.
So
and
I'm
I got
wrong?
Barbecue in West Roxbury.
Am I wrong?
You're wrong.
How are you going to campaign then? Assuming that's the case, and I know you to be a straight arrow, so I assume it's true. How do you win a primary with $40,000 in the bank?
Virginia, David Bratt. versus $5 million.
He did beat one guy down there. Yes,
that's
he did.
True. That is very true. And your politics are close to his.
Yeah, exactly. It's not $40,000. It's more like $340,000. Still a small change compared
to
Charlie.
I saw it was $39,000, I read.
Balancing it, but raised.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Available. You know, when let me, this is the last thing, but I assume we're going to get emails like I got when you were first on television with me saying, oh, Jim, you're disparaging Mark Fisher by regularly referring to him as a Tea Party candidate.
Oh, I'm proud of that.
Every time you're on television, you have a teacup with you. What is it about Tea Party politics that you think Massachusetts is ready for, Mark?
Well, I think this is a perfect segue because I stopped on my way through East Bridgewater yesterday and I got out of my car and stood with the Market Basket employees. Whether it's the establishment of a business, whether it's the establishment of a political party, whether it's the establishment of our government, I think it's the spirit of the Tea Party. I'm not saying that the Market Basket people call themselves Tea Party members, but I think it's the spirit of the Tea Party to say, listen, the establishment isn't working for us. They're working against us. And we want to do things about it, whether it's standing out or putting your jobs on the line or things like that. And I think that's what it's all about.
So you're siding with the Market? I mean, I know you stood with them. You protested with them. You're with the protesting Market Basket workers?
I say more power to them. And I caution them to say, listen, you know what's happened in the past? And I referenced the PATCO union thing with Ronald Reagan and how
when he fired all the air traffic controllers.
And that's the ultimatum that the Market Basket establishment is saying to them. And I heard on the news this morning that people are saying, you know, we're willing to do that. And they're not going to be able to pay for their college or this, that, and the other thing. Man, is that what a sacrifice that is.
You know, both Charlie Baker told me on TV the other night and Deval Patrick told us in studio last week that as current governor and as hoped for governor, they both use similar terms, private company, private enterprise. I really hope good things happen. I hope the workers are protected. As governor, I wouldn't intervene and try to do anything. I don't have any power.
Same
would
here.
You?
Same here. No.
You sit it out.
I was there with them.
No, but as governor.
Aside, but as a governor. No. That's government involvement. No.
Even though thousands of jobs might be at risk, small vendors are about to go under. A major business could also go under. You don't think there's any role for a governor in that kind of setting?
No. Something will fill the vacuum there. There's a need. People need that supermarket. And whether it's Market Basket or some other name, it'll be a free market thing.
We're talking with Mark Fisher, who's running for governor. You know, Mark, I think there's a lot that appeals the Tea Party to people if they're fiscal conservatives and they're worried about spending too much money and they're worried about their taxes and stuff like that. But a lot of the Tea Party, not everybody, but a lot of the Tea Party gets into the social issues. Mm-hmm. We kind of like you're talking about the pro-life kind of thing that in Massachusetts makes it almost impossible for even if you are a fiscal conservative to align with you. You know, there's a whole lot of people.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Here's what I say.
Never thought of kind of, we'll leave the social issues out of this and just talk about fiscal conservatism.
For example, the young woman who seconded my nomination at the convention, she's pro-choice.
Yep.
She knows that I'm pro-life. She's still supporting me. Here's what I'd like to say. The recent Supreme Court decision, 9-0. Liberals and conservatives on the bench were agreed. The ACLU agreed with the decision. And I'm standing with that. I think, Marjorie, that those people that are taking the side of the new buffer zone law in Massachusetts, now 25 feet, if you can't agree with what the Supreme Court said and the ACLU, which I think should be hailed by pro-life and pro-choice people, then I think you're showing your true colors as not pro-choice but pro-abortion.
So where are you on the whole marijuana thing, medical and regular old legalization?
Medical, fine. That's between a patient and a doctor.
Okay.
On the other stuff, I say, listen, Washington and Colorado are running the experiment. There's a few things I don't like. I've heard about young kids going to the emergency room because they swallowed candy with it laced in it. And are you under the influence when you're driving? They've got to be tested for it. Let them run the experiment.
Okay.
Let's see the results before we try to do
and
it here in Massachusetts.
How about casinos?
I'm against them.
Why?
I don't think we'd ever be considering it, Marjorie, if we had good-paying jobs here in the first place. I think we've driven jobs out of Massachusetts. I want to make it business-friendly like New York is and bring good-paying jobs here. I don't like the fact that the remaining jobs, never mind the construction jobs, but the remaining jobs are based on the fact that people have to go there, lose their money to support the jobs at the casinos.
So you're voting for repeal of
voting
the
repeal.
Law on the ballot question?
Yep. Now, if it passes, I'm a governor. I've got to respect the will of the people.
So I was in Springfield, and I'm not a huge casino fan. I think I've made that clear. I was in Springfield, I don't know, a month ago, and I drove around the perimeter of the area where the casino, which has been awarded – well, technically it hasn't been awarded. That's not the term. It's been chosen but not awarded, so they don't have to pay some huge fee in case the thing is repealed. But essentially, Springfield's getting a casino, assuming the thing isn't repealed. Mm-hmm. They need something in Springfield. And while a lot of us say our first preference would not be a casino – Governor Fisher, what do you do for Springfield to generate economic activity. I've said this quote a million times. When years and years and years ago, long before the law, we were talking about casinos on the air, Margie and I, on our former radio station, and I was saying I wasn't crazy about them. Unsolicited, Barney Frank calls in, who represented the district, the part of the state where a casino would have gone. I don't know if it was a Native American casino or not. And he said, Jim, I have a great idea. Let's build the casino with those crappy jobs you're talking about. And as soon as you find better jobs for those people, we'll shut it down and transfer them to the new place. Now, obviously, he's being facetious. What do you do for the people of Springfield?
Yeah, very quickly, I want to do what Scott Walker did in Wisconsin. He had tens of billion dollars in debt. And in 3 years, they have a $1 billion surplus, making it business friendly across the board, not just for Springfield, the South Shore, the North Shore, the Cape, but across the board. By reducing the corporate tax rate, eliminating the overburdensome rules and regulations, stop taxpayer funding of fad industries, $58 million to Evergreen Solar, and then eliminating the inventory tax, Jim. Springfield's at the crossroads of 90 and 91. It would be a haven for distribution centers, and that means material handling jobs, logistics jobs, transportation jobs, administrative jobs. It would be a boon here for Massachusetts.
We're talking to Mark Fisher, who's running for governor. You know, there was this really weird story a few months ago, but now that you're here, I want to get to the bottom of this whole thing. You had sued the GOP to get onto the ballot, and then there was this weird back and forth where they said that you demanded, this is the Mass GOP, that you demanded $1 million from them to drop the lawsuit. You said it was the other way around. Mm-hmm. So what's the story here, Mark Fisher?
Yeah, Jim asked me that. Did you ask for $1 million? I said, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get the specific language, so their attorney's asking us for a number. I said, no, there is no number. I said, listen, tell them it's the same ridiculous number they offered me back in December, $1 million. I should have said $17 trillion.
Okay.
So what's the status of that, by the way? I know, obviously, they gave you ballot access, but what you told me and others is I'm not done with this thing. I want to see the ballots. I want to prove that, in your estimation, they essentially committed fraud, is your contention, correct?
I say they cheated and they got caught cheating. Here's the thing. I've told them, you release the tally sheets, and if they show what you say they show, no impropriety, I'll drop the lawsuit. The ball's in their court. Release the tally sheets.
So this lawsuit is still pending?
The judge split it, Jim, into two points. Uh-huh. One, to get me on the ballot. That was removed because they put me on the ballot. The second one's for damages, and that could play out over 2 or 3 years.
You know, Mark,
before we leave this, do we ever find out who's going to pay you the $1 million?
Well, there were some names named, and I went public with those names.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We'll go public with them again.
I was told by a state committee man that to call a fellow named John Cook, who I've never met, by the way. I got his phone number. We played phone tag. That's the name I had, John Cook.
Where'd you get $1 million?
That's a good question to ask him, Marjorie.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
I just want to stay on this for 1 second. What you also said, I think the last time I spoke with you, Mark, you said that you thought that the level of the behavior on the part of the state GOP to deny you ballot access may have risen to criminality, correct?
Yep.
Have you spoken to any prosecutors about that?
No. I think at the press conference I mentioned Martha Coakley. She's still the attorney general. She still has a job to do if she wants to look into that. But
you also suggested, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you think your opponent, Charlie Baker, may have been part of this deal.
Yeah.
Do you have any evidence that Baker had anything to do with messing with ballots to ensure that you didn't gain primary ballot status?
Initially, I didn't say that. But based on what we've seen come out and delegates telling us what came out and actually people who were responsible for the tally sheets, I think his fingerprints are all over this. And
how so?
That's why the tally sheets won't come out.
How so?
Because he was the only one who was the beneficiary of this. And the people who were doing it were Baker people.
Do you think he committed a crime? If you think the state GOP did Charlie Baker commit a crime?
I'll leave that for a jury to decide.
Well, but you think the state GOP committed a crime. Why are you not willing to say whether you think Baker did or not?
Well, we need to get those tally sheets and see. Those tally sheets and see.
You know, we have an email, and we get a lot of questions about this proposed pipeline, so I'm going to read it. This is from Bob. If Mark Fisher is against corporate welfare, how does he feel about the Kinder Morgan's, a private company, of course, their proposal that their proposed pipeline through Massachusetts is paid for by a surcharge on Massachusetts ratepayers?
I was up in Orange last night, met with about 20 people, and emotions are really running high up there on the issue. And myself and Karen Anderson, who's running for a state rep, said this. Listen, we want to know the facts. But there's two principles that I want to keep in mind. We need other sources of low-cost energy. Gas seems to be ideal, clean burning. But we also have to take into consideration the rights and concerns of the residents up there. And I don't know how those two can be met We have gas distribution pipelines in Massachusetts now. We have electrical things. It's about easements and property. We can't please all the people all the time, but those two things have to be taken into consideration with any decision.
You know, Mark, before you go, you seem to be having fun.
Oh, this is invigorating.
You know, you can always tell when I think I can tell when a candidate says they're having fun. I love meeting the people. You can tell when they don't really mean it. You seem to be having a spectacular. Why is this? Is your 15 minutes in the of fame? What is that? What is it?
I'm an engineer. I'm kind of an introvert. This is not in my nature to go ahead and do this. But when I've gone out and done this stuff, it's invigorating. Sharing ideas like this.
Yeah. So one last thing for me. I mean, you're not expected to beat Charlie Baker. Convince people that they would not waste their vote by voting for Mark Fisher.
Yeah. About a month and a half ago, the Globe ran a poll. And to their surprise, they found that 14% of the state identifies itself as being members of the Tea Party. Only 11% identifies itself as being members of the Republican Party. So if I can turn them out, I win. By the way, only after 3 months of campaigning, I beat Charlie in two Senate districts at the convention, and I tied him in one. And that's after all the arm twisting. So I think my chances are very, very good.
Mark, what's your website?
www.markfisher2014.com.
Mark, it's good to see you.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much
for coming in. Mark Fisher is a Republican running for governor. He's the owner of Merchants Fabrication in Auburn, a metal manufacturing facility. Coming up, we look at the people who helped to make Boston what it is today. It's the subject of a new book told in the spirit of Howard Zinn and Studs Terkel. Jim Vrabel, the author of The People's History of the New Boston, joins us next on 89.7 WGBH.